Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, this is Moeed from the Vent production team. We want to let you know that this episode includes sexually explicit content and discussion of homophobia and mental health struggles. So take care listening.
From Vice and Brent 2020, London Borough of Culture. This is Vent Documentaries. Young people from one London borough telling you the stories we care about. This is series two, where we're talking about love. You can call me Khalil. I used to go on this site, sextingforum.net is what it's called now. You go into the website, gay Snapchat names, click, male seeking males, click, and then you can make an account very quickly and then post your advertisement for yourself.
17M horny and hungry for cock.
Put your Snapchat on there.
Snapchat horny for Harambe.
And then just wait for people to add you.
Loves dirty talk, loves all ethnicities.
Yeah, intersectional, woo.
Got veiny dick waiting to burst for you. Happy face.
Okay, it's fine. Like, who cares? It's just sexual. Everyone's sexual. I alternated different, you know, personas.
18 horny and athletic bottom.
Okay, we're getting more specific now. Some of it is not true. I mean, some of it is true.
18 athletic college.
I didn't make it to uni. I dropped out. So maybe that was a thing. Like, I don't know. Maybe these are the things that I was manifesting. One time, my dad was like watching TV, all relaxed, and I just saw him lifting his pinky up when he was like drinking his tea. I don't know where I heard it, if it was a rumor or if I just made it up in my head, but like I was sure that like that was a thing that only gay people do, and that's like a gay sign, and like he was part of this gay society or gay club. And I got really scared. Like, I ran upstairs. That was the first time I think I googled, searched what it means to be gay or look gay or do gay things, and I was scared that maybe like if he's gay, that means like I caught it from him or I like inherited from him. But I just didn't know. I didn't understand anything about gayness other than like just stuff I heard from others or rumors or stupid conspiracies. So I just thought I must have been part of this conspiracy, this gay conspiracy. That's when the shame started cropping up. Like loads of kids, I would make my own forts in my living room. My mom had loads of like decorative blankets, and I had a special like yellow one and a special blue one that sometimes like when I would put together and the light hits at the right spot, it would create like this nice green haze in my special fort. It felt very like stained glass windows, kind of holy, but kind of, yeah, it felt very special. There wouldn't be a door. You had to like unravel the actual blanket and then just like crawl underneath if you really wanted to get in. So my parents weren't like, they wouldn't do that. I was just doing gay stuff underneath there. And I played Sims in the fort and make some of the characters gay, put them in the bed together and they go, obviously in the name of gaming, it's not real. Go on to like iPlayer, Steve Backshaw from Deadly 60. And then he would wrestle animals. I was like, wow, wrestle me. And then it progressed onto like YouTube. I look up kissing videos. One specific video with a rich French man, very pretty, went through stages of how to kiss, but then I realized, like, wow, I'm really enjoying him and watching him, not the lady, what's going on. Then I eventually made it up to like the naughty sides.
Naughty sides.
Like X videos.
Naughty sides.
Pornhub. Of course I didn't start off the gay stuff because I started instead with a lot of straight stuff. And just really focusing on the guy. And then the bisexual porn videos and the threesomes, focusing on the guy to guy stuff. And then I was getting like really in deep and I couldn't go back. And then I like started just watching full on like solo porn of the guys. And it was just me watching porn in the fort. For a long time, I kept my queer internet self very separate from my real straight presenting and masculine real self. In Islam, it says that it's fine to be having gay thoughts or evil thoughts, but once you act on it, then it becomes a sin and becomes a problem. So in my mind, if it wasn't the internet, I wasn't acting. I was just interneting and it wasn't real. And I was still being halal. I could just press X and delete, clear browsing history, and yep, that part of me is gone. My friend had like a difficult living situation, so he was staying at mine for like a few months. He had broken his phone and I like had an old one. I think it was an iPhone 4, 5, I don't know, it was old. I let him use my phone. Oop, he turned it on. Just started going on the internet and all of my tabs were still open, including a lot of gay stuff, man. A lot of gay pornography. For the first time, that internet world that I had created, that queer internet world, collided with my real world. It did become real, and it felt kind of cathartic to say I'm gay. So I came out to my sister, train station, just sitting. I just started crying. And she was really confused, and I couldn't like get those words out, but then she kind of helped me and she's asked, yeah, like, are you gay? Like, are you gay?
Gay.
I was like, whoa, yes. I've talked to her before a couple of times about coming out to my parents, and she says, no, don't yet. In my country's language, the word for gay is the same word as the word for coward. I think I internalized that. Like, if you are gay, you should hide in the sidelines and not be who you want to be and just cower and be a coward. I don't know. I know that hopefully things will change. I felt like when I came out, I had to like start afresh. I didn't know how else to do that other than just to scour the internet. My fake Snapchat account was horny for Harambe. I was too scared to make that account on my actual normal Gmail. So I had another Gmail set up as well called skinoutyourpumpum@gmail.com. And I made a gay Tumblr as well. I made a gay everything, basically. I made a gay Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram. I think it used to be called like gay forum, or I think now it's sexting forum. Lord knows what it is. I don't. It added loads of people.
18, male. California.
25, slim.
20-year-old twink looking for the same.
Chubby bottom slave here.
Plus, I got double anal too.
Sock fetish. Hairy only.
Add me.
Add Snapchat for the
horny as fuck young BBC. Send me ass.
And I said, I want picture first. So I wanted their face, so I know what they look like. And then we just had conversations. Houston Hottie. So he's the first person to actually send me a photo of his face. We didn't say hello to each other. 28th of August 2016. Oh my god. Okay, Okay, so the first message. Houston Hottie.
Houston Hottie.
Says, send me vids. Let's jerk off.
Horny for Harambe.
Do you want a live chat or Skype?
Houston Hottie.
What about on Snapchat?
Horny for Harambe.
Oh shit, if you want.
Houston Hottie.
Only what you want, Daddy. I have to be quiet though. You want to?
Houston Hottie.
Same.
Oh, it's me, sorry. Fuck. Okay, sorry, I'm getting confused.
Houston Hottie.
Only what you want, Daddy. I have to be quiet though. You want to?
Horny for Harambe.
Same.
Houston Hottie.
You ready?
Horny for Harambe.
Not yet. Give me a sec.
Houston Hottie.
Okay, Daddy. Tell me when.
We've now Snapchat Live. He's the first person that taught me that Snapchat Live was a thing as well. So he's also talking about tech. Sorry, no. Okay, that's fine. Ooh.
Horny for Harambe.
Wow, that's so fucking sexy. What the fuck? You made me come.
Houston Hottie.
Wanna watch me come?
Horny for Harambe.
Yeah, shit.
Houston Hottie.
What do you think?
Horny for Harambe.
That was hot. That was my first time.
Houston Hottie.
You're hot. First time what?
Horny for Harambe.
I've never even sexted, B.
Houston Hottie.
Oh, how was your first time?
Horny for Harambe.
I was hella soft at first, because I was worried. But you made me feel comfy and hard real quick. Where are you located, B?
Houston Hottie.
Houston.
Horny for Harambe.
Oh, duh, lol.
Houston Hottie.
WBU.
Horny for Harambe.
We're worlds apart. I'm in London, England.
Houston Hottie.
Oh, cool. I have to go, sorry.
The after.
I want to make you hard.
He ignored it. Then.
I miss your dick.
He ignored it. 2 days later.
Wanna jerk off?
Then he ignored it. And then.
Houston Hottie.
Sorry, homework.
Horny for Harambe.
Maybe later?
He ignored it. And then I wrote,
hey.
He ignored it. Then he replied,
hey.
And then,
hi.
And then, that's it. That was my first, like, interaction with a gay person. One of my friends, they had, when they were in primary school, to get married and in the school pitch, on the grass, or they had like cooties and chasing each other, but like I never had any of that. Like I never had any romance. Reading more and philosophy and like queer theory and stuff. So when they talked about like heterotemporality and the fact that there's difference between gay time and like straight time, like I was like, yeah, this makes sense. Cause I felt like a kid. I felt like a naive, like 5 year old. I wasn't using my sense because this is the first interaction, a romantic interaction that I've ever had. Since I was on that sexting website in 2016, obviously a lot has changed. First time that I felt like this is like a lot more was with my first boyfriend. And we did meet on Tinder. One of the first questions I asked him was, are you looking for fun or are you looking for a man? His response I didn't expect at all. To be honest, he was actually pissed off. What he said back was that, like, no, I'm looking for someone to talk to, a friend, and whatever happens, we'll see where that goes, and we'll see where that goes. And I was like, whoa. I didn't realize that there were other gay guys that actually wanted normal, not say that those other conversations are weird, but it's just, I was so used to that I didn't think that you could be different types of gay beyond that. We talked that night for a long time, then we met with each other in real life. He wasn't out either to his family, so things got intense very quickly. We exchanged like I love yous ill after like a month, and like because we spent every day with each other. I don't talk to him anymore now, unfortunately. We were unhealthy for each other because we both didn't have many templates for what it meant to be a queer person that isn't a stereotype. The reason why we ended things was communication and not knowing how to communicate with each other, because I think a lot of the times Like, we became the templates for one another to how to communicate, and we were just internalizing and enacting all the stuff that we'd learned still, and it was coming up and it was showing. We're still trying to unlearn that, and I think we have to do that on our own first and unlearn all the biases that have been put on us and how to communicate. That will take a long time, and like, I know he's going through stuff to help him and the right resources to help him, and going through therapy, and I'm going through therapy, and we're trying to understand what is healthy communication, but we need to do that on our own first as well. What advice I give to a 16-year-old queer person in Brent? Do you have people out there that are going through very similar things to you? This question makes me sad. I was so scared that I was like the only one in my area that had a similar like story. You're not the only one, really. There are people that can relate. But it doesn't, like, the thing is, it doesn't really matter. Like, what I say, words really don't mean anything. Like, this is a podcast, which is amazing, which is great. We make posters, we make art, we make all of these beautiful things. But the reality is that, like, sometimes we just need help. And sometimes it's ugly. And sometimes it means things can't be, like, summed up in, like, pretty kind of packages. Like, we need youth services. We need people to invest. We need people to invest in people on the ground that are actually doing work. I'm happy that after 8 months of being on a waiting list for NHS, now I can actually act and take steps to get assistance and real help. But, like, that's what we need. That's what we don't want people to talk about solutions anymore. Like, there's gay, queer people, especially of colour, especially trans women, trans black women, they're dying. But we need to invest in actual change of people on the ground. It's a collective struggle and collective kind of journey. Yeah, you're not alone. Love you. Kiss, kiss.
Thank you for listening to Vent Documentaries. I'm Khalil. Vent Documentaries are produced by Jess Lawson and Ali Adlington, with help from Amelia Gill, Mawid Majid, and Kamaya Shea. Our music is from WMP Studios. Vent is a collaboration between Vice and Bread 2020, London Borough of Culture.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.